All right. Avery Davidson from the Farm Bureau is with us. How are you, sir?
I am well. It's good to be here again with you,
good
Brian.
Good to have you on. Been too long, man.
Yeah. I feel like I keep up via Facebook and like on the air with you. And so, you know, it doesn't feel that distant. However, I realize that I'm not posting as much to Facebook. I'm not as social.
I let my wife handle all the personal stuff like that, the pictures of the kids. She handles like 90% of that.
See, I handle some of that, but normally it's at my wife's urging. She's like, well, are you going to make a post? Because you have more friends on Facebook than I do, so
if
you get more interaction.
Post, send me the picture and I'll post. I hear that one a lot.
No, she says, I'll send you the pictures that we posted on your page. Because when I tag you, we don't get as much engagement. So I need you to post it and tag me, and we get more engagement for some reason. So, but she doesn't know that what I do is everyone who hits like gets $5 in the mail from me.
Okay.
That may or may not be true.
Pulling up your Facebook as we speak. No. But we got a lot to catch up on. I tell you what, before we get into we got to talk about the farm bill.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the
farm
country.
There's a lot of backstory leading up to it as well. But before we get to that, in our This Day in History segment, today's the anniversary of reopening, I don't want to say reopening Cuba, but opening up talks with Cuba. You just got back from there.
Yeah, we just got back on Thursday of last week. Louisiana Commissioner of Agriculture and Forestry, Dr. Mike Strain, organized this trip. On it were also Louisiana Farm Bureau President Richard Fontenot, LSU Vice President of Agriculture, Dr. Matt Lee, who also heads up the LSU Ag Center. And there were a number of legislators, so Stuart Cathy, Chair of the Senate Ag Committee, Troy Romero, Chair of the House Ag Committee, were both on this trip as well. And the goal was really to try and establish some more relations whenever it comes to buying and selling rice.
Okay.
So rice is one of the biggest commodities for the Cuban people. They consume more rice per capita than any other country in the world. The problem is their agricultural sector is in decline, seriously. So between 2017 and 2024, their rice industry dropped by 53%. So at their top producing year, they were making 300,000 metric tons of rice per year. Last year, they only made 140,000 metric tons of rice. So a lot of their rice comes from Vietnam because of the trade issues in dealing with the United States.
Okay.
So you mentioned about things opened up on this day back in 2014. Well, they closed again shortly after 2020.
Okay.
Or I should say 2016 and going into 2017. And then at the end of President Donald Trump's first term in office, he relisted Cuba as being one of the states that sponsor terrorism. So that limits what the Cuban government can do when it comes to banking and finances and that sort of thing. So while things were opening up a little bit more between the U.S., they closed down quickly. And then under the Biden administration, nothing changed. So it all stayed the same.
Wow. We've spent 4 years with it just being stagnant like that.
Yes. And where you can really tell is on the ground in Cuba. I went two times to Cuba in 2016, once with Congressman Ralph Abraham and Congressman Rick Crawford, and then again with Commissioner Mike Strain. And from that trip to this trip, you really see a decline in the number of people in Cuba. The population dropped from 11 million to 9.2 million over that time. That's out migration. We were told by government officials there that last year there were only 80,000 births in Cuba, primarily to teenage mothers.
So what's happening
is you have all the people who could actually be entrepreneurial, who could do the work, leaving the country. And it's
Going where?
Anywhere. Are coming here to the United States. Some are going to Brazil. Some are going to Belize. It all depends on where they have family and the like. But it's really a sad situation there. And, you know, listen, we talk about the embargo concerning Cuba, but we also have to remember that there is a regime there in power that lives a very different life from most of the citizens.
Right.
So while we were there, we visited with the Minister of Foreign Affairs. That's the equivalent to the Secretary of State for the United States.
Gotcha.
This place was absolutely palatial. Mm-hmm. It was gorgeous. Swimming pool in the backyard, just everything pristine. Whereas where we were staying. We were staying at the Grand Aston Hotel La Habana, and right across the street was government housing that looked like it hadn't been painted since the 1930s. Dr. Matt Lee posted an article on his Facebook page the other day about how that place is considered a prison for the people who live there.
Right.
It's really in such deplorable condition. So it's there, you really get to see the disparity between the haves and the have-nots while you're there. I'm talking too much. I'll go ahead and...
No. This is what the segment's all about, though, because it's going to walk us around to... we talk with Dr. Strain. He'll be on Thursday, 8:15. Yeah. We talk with Dr. Strain about how it's incumbent upon farmers, and specifically Louisiana farmers, because we got a lot of them who do things really, really well mm-hmm. here. And then when you talk about the research that goes into the agribusiness, we feed the world.
Yeah, we really do.
And this is one segment where more and more they are dependent upon us for so many different things, and we can fit that bill. We can fill that demand. So if nothing has changed over the last 4 years and Donald Trump was the one to put them on the list, is there any likelihood that they'll fall off that list or get reclassified with a new Trump administration?
I don't know. I would say look to who he has selected as his Secretary of State, mm-hmm. Marco Rubio. So I would say that is not a likely scenario, although Commissioner Strain will come in here and tell you and say, Rubio could be the one who changes the tune on it. And that's definitely a possibility. But, the reality is the only way in which we're doing any business with Cuba right now is on a cash basis. It is usually with private citizens who are there because there is some private enterprise that's allowed to exist. The state has some hand in it at some point, but usually in what it takes taxes-wise. But... That said, there's a significant amount of rice, significant amount of poultry, both going to Cuba from Louisiana.
Well, and when you look at that and you say, Vietnam is their largest supplier of rice, that's literally halfway around the world. We're right here.
Yeah, it's the difference between 72 days mm-hmm. of the rice getting there and 72 hours. Because if you come out of the port of Lake Charles.
Days.
Yeah. So think of the shipping costs that would be cheaper coming out of Louisiana. And at one time, a majority of the rice we grew here in Louisiana was shipped to Cuba before the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge trade partner for Louisiana. And there's now a new partnership that is going on. While we were in Cuba, Commissioner Strain and Dr. Lee signed a memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Agriculture in mm-hmm. Cuba to help work with them on rice research. Primarily, this is going to be in management and practices. Because a lot of the genetics are proprietary here. May have been developed by the Rice Research Station in Crowley, but that was done so with Rice Research Board funds, the rice checkoff.
Yeah.
So farmers funding it. So the technology there won't be shared, but what will be shared are the best management practices to help them improve their crops.
We've got Avery Davidson from the Farm Bureau of Louisiana with us. The original intent of this interview is to talk about the Farm Bill. And actually, can we start by kind of rewinding the clock to kind of set the scene mm-hmm. of where farmers are at right now? Okay? Because that's going to lead up to why any kind of movement is going to be crucial.
Well, to set the scene, we are still we're no longer operating under a Farm Bill.
Right.
The Farm Bill extension expired on September 30th, and that was an extension of the 2018 Farm Bill. So there are reference prices in that date back to 2012. Now tell me, what are you buying right now that's the same cost as it was in 2012?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. So that's the situation our farmers are in. That said, commodity prices were not bad in 2012 and 2018.
Okay.
They're bad now.
Yeah.
So, the LSU Ag Center, Dr. Michael Diliberto, did a white paper looking at what an average farm in, say, Tensaw Parish would be experiencing right now. That average farm that may grow corn, soybeans, and cotton would see an almost doubling to tripling of its input costs, meaning what they pay for feed, seed, fertilizer, all the inputs that go into the ground to make a crop, but see the commodity price drop by about 25%. So they're seeing losses possibly for the third year in a row of upwards of $500,000.
Wow.
So you're because
let's talk about margins real quick too, because it's not like they were operating on significant margins to begin with.
Right. And now it's you're looking at a negative margin in some cases. And so
that negative margin is just hedging to make sure it's not a more negative hit.
Right. And they're at the point where if the farm bill has officially expired, so there is no protection there. There's no price protection. And I can understand where some listeners will say, well, you know, I don't have protections in my job. I would make the argument you have your job because you don't have to spend all your time going out and grow your food. The only reason why I can be a communications director for Louisiana Farm Bureau is because I'm not trying to grow anything to eat in my backyard, which I'd have to be tending to all the time.
Right.
So we're in a position now where getting a new farm bill isn't enough. We now need supplemental economic assistance, and it needs to be passed this week as part of this continuing resolution.
We can't talk about this story enough. Like, I know 2 days from now I'm going to have Dr. Strain on, mm-hmm. and we're going to continue the conversation because agribusiness in Louisiana, and as Dr. Strain has indoctrinated me, is that we do feed the world. Mm-hmm. This means a big deal. And we in Louisiana do it better than anybody else. Whether you talk about rice, whether you talk about sweet potatoes, whether you talk about whatever it is going on, LSU specifically, mm-hmm. but Louisiana as a whole, we have a lot that we can brag on. So when it comes to something like the Farm Bill, which feels like a national story, mm-hmm. it's really a local story.
Every story is a local story, especially when it comes to agriculture, because when you think about the small communities around our state, Wisner, you think about Zwali, they are dependent on the farmers and ranchers in those areas to bring the dollars in and to start that economic engine going.
Right.
And so when we talk about supplemental assistance for farmers, we're talking about saving rural America mm-hmm. is really what we're talking about, because we're now at a point where we don't have a farm bill. We have farmers and ranchers who've been carrying debt for 3 years. So they weren't able to pay off all their loans, so they work with their banker. The banker says, we'll carry it over because you still might pencil out this year. Well, you still might pencil out this year. Well, next year, they're not penciling out. And we actually have some farmers who are being told by their bankers, we can't loan you money next year. We cannot give you a crop loan. So don't plan on planting a crop in 2025. And that's the point where we're going to start seeing farms go under. We've lost 141,000 farms across this country in the last 14 years.
Repeat that number.
So across the country, 141,000 farms have gone down over the last 14 years. That's according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. And we're seeing a significant, we're looking at a situation like you remember in the 80s, whenever we had the Farm Aid concerts and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We're at that point again, and we're at a tipping point where Congress, if they keep some kind of supplemental assistance in this continuing resolution, if they put it in there, I should say, then they could be the heroes to all of rural America. Because right now, both the Louisiana Farm Bureau and the American Farm Bureau have taken the position of we want Congress to vote against any continuing resolution that ignores the needs of farmers and ranchers, that does not have supplemental assistance in there, that does not have some way to where they can get those crop loans that they desperately need to be able to continue farming. Because I enjoy eating, and to me, that's probably the most secure thing that we have in this country is the fact that we know we can go to the grocery store and get food anytime, anytime we want. You start to lose the farmers. You start to lose that becomes a national security issue when you can't feed your people, watch them revolt.
Oh, look, if we talk about how often do we talk about energy independence and the mm-hmm. importance of energy independence?
That's right.
This is tenfold. This tenfold more important to be. It's one thing to be able to drive yourself to work. It's another thing to be able to feed yourself.
Mm-hmm. And this rolls into energy as well, because we produce ethanol with corn.
Okay.
And that's part of what goes into our fuel system as well. So if you think, well, does agriculture really touch my life? Oh, it touches your life 3 times a day each time you have a meal. If you're wearing cotton, like I've got my blue jeans on today, you know, a cotton shirt, that's impacting my life as well. That's agriculture. If you live a house that has any wood in it, agricultural product. So all of that is why every single person needs to care. Now, on our website, lafarmbureau.org, you'll see a banner at the top saying, we need a farm bill now. Mm-hmm. If you click that, you go to a page that will allow you to immediately send a message to every member of your congressional delegation. So your two senators and your congressman, you just fill in the information and it'll know who to send it to. Doing that, we've sent more than 3,000 messages from Louisiana to our delegation, telling them the importance of having a farm bill passed. But also, more importantly now, passing a farm bill today does not save our farms, because Congress has failed to pass a farm bill over the 2 years it had to draft it. So now we need immediate supplemental assistance to keep these farms afloat, and we need a new farm bill once the 119th Congress comes in.
Working on the farm bill itself, and we'll talk about supplemental assistance in a minute, but on the farm bill itself, what are the hangups here? Because I feel like there is no representative, there is no senator who doesn't have this hit home in some way, shape, or form. So what would be the holdups to getting a new farm bill?
In the past, traditionally, the farm bill has not been a political football. And in this Congress, it has been. And so you have the Republicans who want to see some changes in the SNAP program, have some work requirements for SNAP. Because while, yes, it is called the Farm Bill, it should be called the Farm and Food Bill, because about 78% of it is of the funding goes to nutrition programs. Okay. Only a very small portion actually goes to agricultural programs.
Yeah.
The other hang up is that you have some who on the Democratic side who want to use some of the funding for what's considered climate smart agriculture. Now, a lot of those are practices that farmers and ranchers are already doing, but it's how the money gets funneled, where it gets funneled, and those sorts of things. So those are the two places where we're seeing some politicizing of it.
That climate smart piece of this, and yeah, you enter the word climate, politics is going to follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although I know over at our sister station 104.5, Supreme Rice sponsors Live at Lunch, and I hear Hanegraaff say it all the time. They're using the climate smart program there.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a way... Because when we talk about the farm bill, we're not talking about one bill. It's not a package of bills combined? Okay.
It is one bill. So, and now in the House, they have tried to split the nutrition and the farm programs before.
That's what I want to ask. How can these things be separated to where you can move the politics over to the one side and still let the farmers be farmers?
You run into the problem of you have urban representatives who have no ties directly to agriculture, so why would they vote for the bill?
Gotcha. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You need the nutrition programs to get the urban representatives to go with the rural representatives, and vice versa. So it's always been the great place where everyone comes together, and just has not been the case for the last 2 years.
You would think this would be the one area where everything could be dropped and we could break bread together. Mm-hmm. But we can't even make the bread.
Exactly. We can't grow the wheat right now. You know, when I get the crop loans to grow the wheat. But I mean,
I did not set that up, by the way.
But I mean, we're not at that dire a point. But my gosh, this is the worst I've seen the farm economy since I went to Farm Bureau in 2008. So we're going on 17 years. And between the drought last year, the hurricanes before that, the low commodity prices, the high inputs, inflation, we're just at the point where a lot of our folks just can't take any more. You know, where when you're already more than $1 million in debt and you're told that you're still going to have a loss and I can't lend you, not only are you $1 million in debt, I can't lend you more money for you to do this
to
another year.
To dig yourself out of it, 100%. Supplemental assistance. Let's talk about numbers right there. Just give us a rough estimate, amount-wise, how much would it take to keep everyone afloat?
Oh, you're talking about probably about $20
billion. $20
billion. Wow. Across the country. Now, there are two different plans, again, put forward by the two respective parties. One, as presented by the Democrats, would take an allocation. It would have to say, we need to go to appropriations and get this money approved to be able to go through it. The one that the Republicans have put forward, and it's the one that was initially mentioned in the Farm Act, which Congresswoman Julia Letlow had co-sponsored along with Congressman Trent Kelly in Mississippi, and Congressman Clay Higgins was signed on as a co-sponsor of that as well. That would take currently existing CCC money, so that's the Commodity Credit Corporation, money that is already there, already appropriated, already set aside, and it would mandate that within 90 days, that money be dispersed to farmers and ranchers across the country. Okay. That's the one that Louisiana Farm Bureau supports, mostly because of the immediacy of it. You know, if you pass a farm bill today, it's going to be more than a year before anyone sees anything from
that. No, 100%.
They need something now.
Right.
Or else they don't get the crop loans. And if they don't get the crop loans, they don't plant a crop. If they don't plant a crop, then
nobody gets fed.
Well, and the economic engine of rural America starts to go away. I mean, we've already seen John Deere laying off folks over at a number of its plants. Mm-hmm. We've already heard from equipment sales that dealerships, equipment dealerships, that they're seeing a slowdown in sales. What's going to happen next? You know, you see this ripple effect. It's not just the farm; it's the entire farm economy that's going to collapse.
Tell us one more time how to get in touch with our legislators and who needs to move this football across the goal line here.
So lafarmbureau.org, at the top you'll see a banner that says we need a farm bill now. Also, you can go to lafarmbureau.org/farmbill, mm-hmm. and that'll take you directly to it. All you got to do is a couple of clicks, and you are sending a message to both of our senators and your congressman or a representative in Congress, or you can just call them directly.
Okay.
I mean, that's another, just tell them that we need supplemental assistance now.
He is Avery Davidson with the Farm Bureau of Louisiana. Man, I greatly appreciate a couple minutes this morning.
Brian, anytime.